Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RTE.ie is the email address. That this letter was sent to us early this morning, and it's an unusual dilemma. It's basically asking the question, are you ever too old to get divorced? And this is from the daughter, who's in her 50s, of a couple who were in their 70s, and they've separated.
Dear Joe, I'm emailing you about a whole area that is not really talked about, and the lack of information and support available to elderly people who decide to separate. This has happened to my parents. They are almost in their mid-70s and separated last year. Communication is now through solicitors. This has been a long time coming and things are now worse than ever. It wasn't anything in particular that caused this, just an intolerance of each other, a pig-headed stubbornness and unwillingness to try and sort it through marriage counselling. It has created an awful division in our family, with siblings either pulling away from the situation, siding with one parent, or not talking to the other parent. I am caught in my mother's corner. She is simply not able to handle this separation and is relying on me to offload to constantly, which I wish would not happen. I'm nearly in my 50s now with my own family. My mother asks for my opinion on what the solicitor recommends or what I think of the most recent correspondence from my father's solicitor about how to settle the finances. I don't want to be involved but find myself constantly dragged into this situation by her. The guilt of not helping her is what stops me from walking away and telling her that this is not my place. This has put unbearable pressure on my relationship with my mother. I have searched online for support groups for her to contact, but I cannot find anything. I'm sure we're not the only family to have been through this type of situation, with their older parents separating at this stage of their lives.
Okay, thanks Sinead for reading that. There's a dilemma. Now, it's nothing to do with this call. It's a good news call. It's from Elizabeth Oates in Roscommon. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. Hi.
Slightly, parents are involved, obviously, but COVID, this is a good story coming out of COVID. You were hoping during COVID to try to get to America to celebrate your birthday.
Correct.
You're 68. But that can't, well, it can happen now. Well, it's still with difficulty, but it would be happening soon. So you decided, instead of the present of the trip to America, your sister bought you a DNA kit for your birthday.
She did, surely.
For your 60th. And caught a harley.
I did the DNA and I got the results a couple of weeks short of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And when the results came back, of course, being new to DNA, I hadn't a clue what it meant. Other than this lady popped up on my page, a lady called Daphne.
Okay.
So the next lady down then was an aunt of mine. And then after that, just cousins and more cousins and then third cousins and fourth cousins.
And all you got was the name Daphne?
Well, I did get her surname as well.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I knew what her name was. It said her name on the DNA site. So,
and what was it telling? What was it telling you about Daphne?
It just said that when we looked at it, we really didn't understand the math. But basically, it said that I was a 25% match to Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have meant that she could either have been a grandparent, which she wasn't because she was too young. She could have been a grandchild, which she was too old. Half sibling. An aunt or a niece. So through the works of dates of birth and ages, we came to the conclusion she was my half-sister.
Wow. So?
So, of course, we had a big family confab and talked about this and who could she be. And
what were the issues? What were the issues that came up in the confab?
Well, just about, who was she? We knew, my brother worked out that she was paternal. So she was my father's side of the family. So we just couldn't understand. Nobody knew anything about her. We spoke to one of my aunts who's still alive, and she didn't know anything about her. So we just drew a blank. We had no idea who she was. So we had to do a bit of research. So obviously the first thing we did was Googled her.
Yeah.
And her picture came up. And she's the living, spitting image of my sister.
Wow.
So there was no denying who
when
she was.
When you saw that photograph for the first time, did the hair stand on the back of your...
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, it was just unreal. Absolutely unreal. There was absolutely no denying who she was.
Okay.
So Facebook, of course, is a very powerful machine at the moment. Mm-hmm. So we tried searching her on Facebook, couldn't find her. So the next line we went down then was back to people that was already on the DNA.
Okay.
These other cousins of mine. And there was actually a cousin of mine who I know quite well, and she had her DNA done. And she told me, when I spoke to her, that this lady, Daphne, had been in contact with her to find out, did she know anything about her heritage or her parents or whoever. But my cousin at the time had no idea.
So and just explain to people, Elizabeth, when you go on these websites, did it tell you who Daphne was? Did it give you Daphne's address?
No, it gave me her name. Okay. And because she had a part family tree up, it was her name and her mother's name and her mother's mother and father's name.
Okay.
That was her tree. So we knew then what her maiden name was. We searched, obviously, my cousin was on the search for her as well. But we had searched on the registrars to find out if we could find who she was. You know, her original name, we found out who she was originally and who she married and what date she got married. We knew she was in Cambridge, but after that we didn't know anything about her. So, going back to my cousin again, she told us that, yes, she had contact from her, but it was her daughter, Erica, that had been looking for us.
Okay.
Because Daphne, at this stage, was 70 and she wasn't technology-minded. So her daughter was doing the search. So, Facebook again, couldn't find any Erica surname that we knew, couldn't find her anywhere. Back to my cousin again. And because my half-sister Daphne, has an unusual maiden name, my cousin made some sort of connection and she was able to find Erica on Facebook.
So just to be clear, when you're given Daphne's name, you're not told where she is.
Other than the fact that I looked into her.
No, but you've got to do the detective work yourself.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But I knew her date of birth, not her exact date of birth, only her year of birth.
Okay, but can you go back to the, I don't know who does it, the DNA crowd and say, I think I'm related to Daphne, can you put me in touch?
I did that because we waited.
And what did they say?
No, absolutely not. There's a messaging service connected to Ancestry DNA.
So only people who want to be contacted can be contacted?
Yes.
Okay. So did Daphne want to be contacted?
Well, this is what we were afraid of, because when I initially found her that Christmas, last Christmas, I started messaging her. And every week, a month or so, I'd message her and say, hi, we're still here, we're looking for you, we're thinking about you. Because at this stage, we knew that she was our half-sister at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
But she hadn't gone back on to Ancestry in something like 14 or 15 months. So she hadn't looked and hadn't seen that somebody was actually on there now searching for her.
Right, okay.
So do you get what I mean?
And
she didn't go on, so she didn't know we were on there.
Of course, but you did find each other.
I found Erica on Facebook and we made a connection. Erica is
the daughter. Now,
Erica is the daughter.
Who is Daphne?
Daphne is my father's daughter.
And did you know that? Did you know
absolutely
your
friend? Absolutely not.
Did you know your friend? And who's Daphne's mum?
Well, it's a lady called Dorothy, who my father went to England. I'll start with my father. He went to England back in 1949.
Right.
Went to London initially.
Okay.
But at some stage, while he was in England, he worked in Cambridge, and this is the connection. We know that he was in Cambridge, and Daphne's mother is from Cambridge.
Cambridge.
Yeah, and her name is Dorothy.
And did your mother know about Daphne?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, did she not? Oh, God.
No.
Is your mother still alive?
I don't even know. My mother died 2 years ago. I honestly don't believe my father knew either. And Daphne is of the same opinion that...
So Daphne never met your dad?
Had no idea who he was, where he was from. Her mother never discussed him with her.
Okay.
She was always afraid. She was brought up initially by her aunt until she was 2 years of age. And then she went to live with her grandparents. And her mother would see her every weekend because her mother worked in a hospital. And I suppose that time they lived in, and she'd just come home on the weekends and see Daphne.
And do you think... This is an awkward question. You know the question I'm going to ask. What age is Daphne compared to you and other members of the family?
Well, actually, as it happens, Daphne was born in 1950, the 12th of July, 1950.
Okay.
And my brother was born on the 12th of July, 1952.
Your eldest brother?
My eldest brother, yeah. So, they were born the same day, 2 years later.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And along... Okay. You know what
None
I'm
asking? None of us
knew,
Joe. None of us knew.
But do you think your father met Daphne when he was with your mother? Do you follow
me? No, no, absolutely not.
Predated.
No.
Okay.
No, well, we worked that out, yeah.
So what, says you? If so, what?
They were married, Daddy and my mother were married in 1951.
Yeah, okay.
So that was, you say, in order
and
for...
And as I say, if so, so what? Now, the other thing is...
20 months.
But apart from, and I'm putting this in tongue-in-cheek, but apart from the fact that she's your half-sister, you've nothing else in common. She never met her dad. You never met her. Of course, you met her dad. She was your dad, so you can tell her about her dad.
Mm.
Is she anxious? Did she think someone else was her dad?
She had never known. She never discussed it with her mother. Her mother would never.
Well, that's a revelation for Daphne. Now, have you been in touch?
Yes, numerous times.
And how are you getting on? Sometimes there's no connection, you know.
Oh, God, great. She's such a lovely lady. Such a lovely lady.
Okay.
And tomorrow we're going to meet her.
Oh, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic.
Tomorrow we're going to meet her.
Where?
My two elder brothers and my younger sister, we're all going to Newmarket. That's where she lives. She lives in a wee village near Newmarket.
And what time are you due to meet her tomorrow at?
I think around 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, 8 o'clock. There's no set time yet because we are on the boat and my sister's flying.
Oh, you're on the ship, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we're playing by ear. But
and where are you? I don't want the exact location, but are you going to meet at her house or in the hotel?
We're meeting in her house. We're going to her house.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to her house. She lives in a wee village just outside.
Have you any other relations through Daphne? Have you any nieces or nephews through Daphne?
Yes, we have. She has got two sons and a daughter, and we're meeting them on Thursday.
Oh, well done. Your relations. And have they any children? Is Daphne any grandchildren?
Daphne has 5 grandchildren.
Okay, so they're coming into the family. That's two, three of 8 new members of the family. Now, how many new members of Daphne's family would she discover when Elizabeth Oates and the crew from Roscommon land in Holyhead and make their way to Newmarket? Yeah, many in your family?
I think at the last count there was 42.
Ah, now that's not fair on Daphne.
But that's only first cousins. There could be more other than that as well.
Daphne, 42.
Oh, I'm telling you,
42 Christmas presents.
Does
Daphne know she's got 42 new relatives that are landing on her door tomorrow night? Put the kettle on. Put the borco on.
We'll be grand.
And have you told her there's 42 direct relatives, first cousins? And
no, we haven't really now, to be fair, because, you know, when you're talking on the phone, you don't get down to the nitty-gritty things. You know,
didn't
want to scare her off either, of course.
Of course. We're a small Irish family. There's only 42 of us. And they're close relatives. And have you discovered, like, have you anything in common, like interests, hobbies? Reading, the same drink, the same...
Well, whatever. She doesn't drink.
Okay.
She did drink one time. She has a couple of habits that my sister has. I won't mention them over the phone because my sister would be too embarrassed. but she, other than the fact that she looks like us, and we just have, she's family, and you know, what does it matter if we're nothing in common? She's family, and we learn all about her over the next couple of years.
Okay, what well, that's a great adventure, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We're so looking forward to this. It's unbelievable. Like it, you know, this and, doesn't happen.
And in that family meeting you had, when you talked about Daphne, mm-hmm. did anyone say, well, do you not remember Daddy once saying... because but you don't think he would have known that Daphne's birthday was the same birth date?
No, absolutely not, Joe. Absolutely. We really don't think, we really don't believe that he knew.
But with Daphne's mother...
Well, but hopefully Daphne would be able to enlighten us a bit more.
Did Daphne's mother ever contact your dad?
No, not that we're aware of. Daphne's aware of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Daphne's mother went on to get married, and she has a brother who's about 15 years younger than her.
Right.
So she has, you know, a close sibling as well. But, you know, it's just phenomenal. Like, we're just all in awe.
That's great. Will you keep in touch? So it's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night we're meeting her, yes.
Seven.
Yeah.
And would you be able to talk to... Well, I'd love to talk to Daphne as well.
Yeah, we'll try. I'll speak to her now. I spoke to her earlier on, but she was a bit apprehensive. So maybe after we've met and I can discuss a bit more with her, she probably will come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good news story to start, Elizabeth.
Well, it is.
Well done. And are you apprehensive?
No, well, I am apprehensive of meeting her, but I can't wait. We're all full of excitement to meet her.
That's great.
You know, we're all
and are you going to bring photographs of your dad?
I've actually just picked the album up today. I've spent about the last 3 weeks going through photographs.
And what, you're going to give Daphne a copy of the album?
I've made it just for her, yeah.
Ah, that's really nice. Yeah. And what else are you bringing her over? Some brown bread and some...
Well, probably a bottle of whiskey or something.
Yeah, I'd
do. Yeah.
I know she doesn't take a drink, but she might, when she gets with the shock of the 42 of you at the hall door, she might reach for the jemmy. And she
that's
might
true.
Unscrew it there and then and take it from the neck. The poor woman, 70 years of age, hasn't taken a drink in her life. Well, the 42 Roscommoners, which is half the population of Roscommon, land on her hall door in Oxford. For tomorrow night. Oh, there's going to be. Ah, that'll be great. That will be great. Yeah. Elizabeth, thanks for contacting us.
Okay,
that's
thanks
a lovely
for having me on.
Now,
I love the show.
Now, safe travelling. Do you hear me? Now, mind
Thank
yourself.
You.
Take
oh,
your
I'll
time.
Be minding myself, don't worry.
Take your time.
Okay.
And don't all go in the door at the same time.
No.
You know what I mean?
All right, Joe.
Okay.
There's only four of us going down.
Okay,
you know
that's grand. Yeah, I know that.
All right.
Okay, Elizabeth, safe travelling. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Contact from and an extract from a Christina Gallagher website at www.christinagallagher.org. Listeners to Liveline will know Christina Gallagher is the woman, who self-professed visionary and messenger from Mary, runs the House of Prayer in Ackle, and extremely impressive looking building, extremely big building. And we've covered Christina before, and we've tried to get her on the program. We're trying to get her on again because one family member has contacted us and sent us in the information. Now, again, we want to try and verify this with Christina, but I recently became aware that Christina Gallagher from the House of Prayer in Ackle has told her followers, and by the way, she's lots of them, especially older people, in a message posted on her webpage that the vaccine is poison and not to take it, that the virus is man-made and anyone who does it will be marked with the sign of the beast. And I have here the document alluded to. Wake up, plead for mercy while you still have time. Do not be foolish to assume when this virus is over you will be free. It is a continuation of the great apostasy, the desertion of the truth. I'm reading, you will be called upon to receive the vaccine. That is death, and the mark of the beast will be forced upon you. Those who receive it willingly will die upon eternal death. I read out more as we go. Margaret Fitzgerald. Margaret, you contacted, you're an avid follower of Christina Gallagher.
I am, yes, an avid follower of Christina Gallagher, yes. We have been visiting the House of Prayer for 23 years. We know Christina Gallagher quite well, and she's a very kind, devout, humble woman. Mm. And she's just merely imparting the messages that our Blessed Lady and Jesus has passed on to her to enable people to save their souls. She has never said, I am just going to make it quite clear that I just want to say that the attack that was made on the Sunday World
on the
15th of August last, stating that Christina has said that if anybody should take the vaccine, it is the mark of the beast and they will be lost to hell. Christina Gallagher has never made such a statement. We are there every Saturday. We know exactly what she says.
But it's on our website,
and it's
Christine.
All recorded,
Christina
and it's
Gallagher.
All available on her, on her internet, christinegallagher.org. She has never said it, or anybody else in the house has said it. That's all I want to clear.
Okay, and you've made that clear. And Margaret, do you think, piece which says it comes from christinegallagher.org, you think that's been made up by somebody?
I don't want to enter into that. I don't want to say that. All I want to say is that the attack that was made on the 15th of August last, stating that she said it was the mark of the beast, and that anybody should take it, that they had lost. Christina Nangala has never said that.
And have you taken the vaccine?
No, for I've decided and prayed about it, and we've decided for personal reasons that we would not take it.
And have you discussed that with your family, or is there other members of your family, or are we?
I don't have to discuss it with my family. I discussed it with my husband.
And did he? Can I ask? And you can tell me no. I'm being rude, Margaret. Did your husband? Did he get vaccinated?
We have decided for personal reasons. Not we have discussed it and prayed about it and decided not to take.
Okay. And would he be a follower of Christina?
We both are avid followers of Christina Gallagher.
And what do you love about Christina?
That we found with Christina over 23 years that she's very kind, honest, humble type person, very helpful, very loving. And she just imparts the messages that have been given to her by Christine and Paul. And therefore, anything that she says is all being available. All her messages are available on christinegallagher.org.
Yeah, but I'm looking. I know that, but I'm
looking at that and to read that.
But Margaret, thank you. Margaret, I'm looking at christinegallagher.org and a quote from it. Your world has with, and this is a message for Mary, isn't it? Because she begins, my daughter, write down all that I tell you. It is important. And Christina is the daughter for all the people of the world. This is Mary speaking, apparently. Your world has with it the deepest darkness of hell, the Antichrist. How so many bow down to his power. Yet even more will do so in a short time. You will all be called into the suppression and dictatorship of Antichrist. You will be called upon to receive the vaccine. That is death. And the mark of the beast will be forced upon you. Those who willingly receive it will die unto eternity.
She makes the point. It's very subtle there. It said that it will be followed by the mark of the beast. It doesn't say the vaccine is the mark of the beast. That's a subtle point.
But it
there
does say,
you read that message again.
You will be, we presume when she's talking about the vaccine, Margaret, she's talking about the COVID vaccine, isn't she?
She's talking about the COVID vaccine, but you're reading the thing there. She has not said that the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast. Neither has the Lord said that.
No, she said... She's gone further. She said, you will be called upon to receive the vaccine. That is death. You can't get clearer than that.
But that is not what the attack said on Sunday last, which I'm just speaking about that particular attack. That particular attack said that Christina Gallagher has said in the House of Prayer that the vaccine is the mark of the beast and that anybody who takes it will be lost to hell. She has not said that, and neither does the message
Why is it,
say that.
Well, we rang the House of Prayer and we're asking for Christina to come and talk to us. Now, I don't know which house she's in at the minute. Is the House of Prayer in Achill? Is it the house she owns in Malahide in that gated community? Is it the house that she owns in England? Is it the house that she owns in Florida? I don't know which house she's in, but we'll phone them all. But we spoke to a gentleman who told us that Christina Gallagher was not in prayer, not available, and he would not give us his name. But he made the following statement. We have no comment to make. What happens here is ongoing prayer in the House of Prayer. We refer people to the website to read exactly what was said. Thank you for getting in touch. The website
says... That's all I have. That's what I have to say as well. So,
and has Christina ever, because Christina ever helped you directly, Margaret?
Sorry?
Has Christina ever helped you directly? Like in predicting things or soccer?
Christina would help me. Christina has helped us by her guidance, by her prayer, by her love and her attention at all times. For
but the Pope Francis has got the vaccine.
I don't wish to discuss it any further.
Has he got the mark of the beast on him? Is he going to die, the Pope, Margaret? Margaret, come back to me, please. Margaret.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
By the way, the Sunday World are standing over their story by, and if any newspaper deserves an award for pursuing issues around the House of Prayer and money issues especially, and older people giving money to Christina Gallagher, it is the Sunday World over the years. And Alan Cherry, the journal who wrote it on Sunday, is a reputable journalist. And not only, they don't have to, and they haven't been on, by the way, to say we stand over. I know they stand over because we stand over it as well, because it's on our website. It's on our website. They think they'll go to hell if they get the vaccine. And why would you not think otherwise if in the missive from Christina Gallagher, you will be called upon to receive the vaccine? And Margaret said the vaccine that they're talking about is the COVID vaccine. That is death, and the mark of the beast will be forced upon you. Those who receive it willingly will die upon, I'm worried now about the Pope, upon eternal death. And it goes on. And these are, this is, you see, this is the way Christina operates, is she writes down what Our Lady tells her. My daughter, write down all that I tell you. It is important for all the people of the world. Now, I've no doubt in my little mind that many of the people who follow Christina Gallagher, like Margaret, are deeply genuine and religious people who look for messages from their God and his mother Mary, and that's not at issue here. But we have had a number of emails from relatives who are worried about being told, they are followers of Christina Gallagher, worried about Christina telling them in that way that they shouldn't get the vaccine. Older people not getting the vaccine. Okay, and he moves gently into a completely different item. Mary Brady. Mary, good afternoon. Joe at RT.ie. 51551 is the text number. And lay out your facts, Mary, because you've done a bit of detective work. Well done. It's about Marks and Spencers. And you're not making a mountain out of a molehill. It's the price of brasiers.
Brasiers. There's a very old name.
Brasiers.
I just rang your radio station about 2 weeks ago. There's a markup for sure.
Okay.
For us here. Well, for me here anyway, in Kells, on bras. So I had bought some bras online, and when the box came to me, I paid €26 for the bra.
Okay.
And when the box arrived, that lovely big sticker, which I sent in to your production team, with £18. And I was like, and I did buy three, you know, so that was definitely well marked up for me. Now, as I said, I have raised it with Marks and Spencers. I raised it the first COVID, when at that time they weren't selling underwear in the store, and they just said, oh yeah, we know. But
so you raised the price of the bras.
I did indeed.
Did your argument stand up?
It didn't really. I raised it obviously with the lady at the desk to, you know, take them for other items. Were they aware that this was happening? Because I was bringing back the particular bras, and I told her I'd taken a picture of them, and I really should bring it to Joe.
So how does 18 sterling become 26 euro?
I really don't know. I think it works out. Now, Angus rang me a couple of weeks ago, just over 4 euros and something cents. So I don't know.
We've been on to Marks and Spencers. And they, in fairness, they didn't say we were making a mountain of a molehill. And they did say the argument stands up. And they didn't try and separate us from you. But what they did say is, oh, they gave a general comment. They do this all the time because there are other discrepancies. Oh, overheads in Ireland are underheads. Overheads in Ireland are higher.
Okay.
The postage wasn't included. They basically said we're making a storm, we're looking for a storm in a D cup.
Right. Well, in this case, it might be double D, but I also raised the case that they have an item, a garment,
okay.
to match the brassiere, which is the pants.
Okay.
And if you're so lucky to live in England or maybe in the Northern Ireland, you can have four pair of pants, buy three and get one free.
Okay.
But the deal they have here, or the if that's the right word, is buy two and get one free. Now, I did raise that.
Yeah, but
it's
but hang on, but don't raise that. That's better value.
No, they you buy three and get one free here.
Oh,
in
here.
You buy two.
Uh-huh. Now, hang on. This argument is elasticating now at this stage. You say if you live over the border,
yes.
and you get onto your Marks and Spencers for a pair of knickers, basically.
Yes, basically Bridget Jones's,
and or whatever they say to you, buy two pair of Bridget Jones's, and we'll give you one free.
That's correct.
Okay.
Which I did.
But if you travel the 100 yards over the border. And you go to M&S where in Dundalk or whatever.
Yes.
You go in and you say, ah, missus, you have to buy, ah, mister, it doesn't matter who's buying them. You have to buy three pair of Bridget Jones's before we give you one free.
Free, yeah.
So in other words, it's 50% free in the north and it's 33 1/3% free in the south.
Right.
Ah, they're going to have to, Marks and Spencer, you're going to have to pull up your socks.
Bridges.
Oh, geez, I'm afraid to ask the price of socks.
Yeah. And I genuinely do feel, you know, what do you call it there? Overheads?
Yeah, overheads. Well, the prices in Marks and Spencer's for knickers are thigh high, aren't they?
They are indeed, but go back to the brands. Like, why is it 4 euros?
Okay. Why is the price different? Now, they don't. It's not Brexit. Sure, it's not.
Well, no,
it's not.
And they're offering their service to not only Ireland, all over the world. So, like, why? And, you know, are we paying more? And then, as I said to Angus, we used to have a colleague that we worked with who, in the day when the euro came in, marched the streets of Dublin to say, you know, that we weren't getting the same sterling value.
Yeah. It's not fair, yeah.
Yeah. So I said, oh, God.
This is the statement that M&S sent in. We work hard to ensure we offer our customers on great quality products. Why do we just end up reading out ads for these companies? Like any business.
You're advertising for them now.
Like any business, we have to take into consideration a number of factors that differ across all our markets when setting our prices.
I don't think that explains it fully, but maybe they might like to write to me.
Yeah.
It's just a large markup.
Well spotted. You're in tip top form today, Mary. You really are. Well done.
I didn't know how I was going to follow your last caller, but I have been vaccinated, thank God.
Oh, thank. Well done. Okay. So
why
is something? The question is, and has anyone else spotted? This is done every now and again, and people hate a rip off. I'm not saying it's a rip off, but why are the prices in M&S in Dublin and why are the in Republic? Sorry, and why?
Yeah.
And they've great stores in Ireland and they've great brilliant staff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I bring my mother up to the one in Liffey Valley. Now, unfortunately, it won't take her, but we go around. They're the most helpful staff you've ever come across.
Yeah.
Most helpful staff you've ever come across, including Annette and all the other people up there. But you're saying you buy it for 18 quid in Britain. That should go in the UK. That should come to Northern Ireland. That should come to 21 quid with the current exchange rate. But it jumps to 26.
Yeah, same packaging.
Okay.
Same brassiere, as you call it.
Yeah, same brassiere, and then the same
size. So,
and then if you buy two pair of panties, you get one free up north. And if you go in here and you buy two pair of panties and you take one free, they'll call security. won't they?
Well, definitely. I don't want my particulars taken.
And they'd be taking your name down.
My particulars. Okay. It's lovely to talk to you, Joe.
Okay, Mary, great. Thank you. Well done for getting the vaccine.
Thank you,
Carly. Okay, Joe at RTE.ie, if you spot out other discrepancies. John Bailey is in Avonmore House in Yahalt. This is the story last week of this B&B, lovely woman down in Kinnity, County Offaly or County Leash? It's near Sleep Bloom, near Kinnity Castle. And she, in all her sweet innocence, tried to rejuvenate her business in Offaly. I'm awfully stupid sometimes. But she tried to advertise her business to get going again after the lockdown. And she put in the photographs of the local attractions. And one of them, by the way, is the Kinnity Pyramid. Not many people knew that. The Kinnity Pyramid. And the other thing was the Clonmacnoise. And she just picked two images off the web. And then she got this bill. Not just get this bill. She got this rocking bill from Germany, from a German lawyer. And not only that, but she got about 8 pages of a solicitor's letter. And she couldn't sleep with the worry. They were looking for over 5,000 for a photograph of Clonmacnoise that she'd used illegally, they said. Now, John Bailey. John, good afternoon. What did you do wrong, John?
Hello, Joe. Joe, yes, right. You see, I was tuned into your podcast there at the weekend, and I couldn't believe it when I heard the story from Christina. Now, her story, it was like bizarre because it was almost word for word for the same thing as me. Because during COVID, I was doing the same thing as her. You know, we have an 18th century Georgian house here, B&B in Yall. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, we were closed, so I just started to do the website. And so in the process, the very same as Christina, I was doing a things to do page, and like, okay, in Yall, you know, there's like the town walls, there's the St. Mary's Collegiate Church, and there's also the Clogget, which is like the main iconic tower in Yall, you know, which was an old jail. And I was going about taking pictures, but I got this picture. I just googled the Clogget in Yall, and I just got this picture which seemed good. So I it off the net and put it on my now the site was only kind of going up maybe once a day, twice a week.
Okay.
You know, to do.
And did you? Sorry, your line is gapping on me there, John. Did you get a letter from Stephen Schnellbell, to everyone else in Ireland seems to be getting a letter from, saying you've stolen my photograph, like, and now I want money.
I got one from the lawyer.
Yeah, the lawyer.
Let me stay
there, John, because it's an important story, and I'll come back to you after this break. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now, we've been doing this story for a week. It's a man, a photographer, a genuine professional photographer called Stefan Schnellbelt. He's from the UK. And the one we got last, the initial one we got, and we got a load after that, is a B&B or guest house owner. She put a photograph of Clonmacnoise innocently up on her website, and she got a 10-page letter a few months later from Stefan Schnellbelt saying, and through his lawyer, by the way, listing all the laws that she broke, and copyright law, German law, Irish law, of every Jude Law, the whole lot of them. And she got it. They were looking for 1,500. And if she failed to pay up, she's going to have to pay $5,000. And if not, she was going to be brought to court. And in fairness, even though she's trying to get back out, she sent him £275, which is to use a photograph for a year. Now, she could have just gone off and gone over and taken her own photograph from across the Shannon of Clonmacnoise, but she didn't think of it. And I take the argument from photographers, this is their livelihood, and what Stefan Schnellbelt is doing is completely legitimate. Now, John Bailey is another man, but the thing in John's story is, you rang the lawyers because you said... by the way, our callers last week had sleepless nights. Did you have sleepless nights, John? And what happened when you phoned the lawyers?
Yeah, Joe. Yes. Yeah, so what happened was I was there thinking, what's this? So, like, after about 2 or 3 weeks, like, the letters were getting, well, the emails were getting more and more intense. So I sent an email first of all to Stefan, but he just didn't respond.
Okay.
So I phoned up the office of the lawyer, and I spoke to somebody there who first said, like, that he doesn't take phone calls. You can only talk to him by mail. So I just came off the phone then, and I just got more threats, and then they were sending me cases where they had won, like,
okay,
the big huge cases where they won 10 grand, 15 grand more.
Wow.
And I thought, like, what the hell is this? So then I phoned him again. And he still, like, wasn't there. But I spoke to some guy in the office who was his assistant or worked there. And I tell you, Joe, I put on this act where I was like a madman. I was a lunatic. I was going out of my mind. I was saying, look, you know, I'm my business is shut because of COVID. I have no money, mm-hmm, blah, 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 blah. And he said, he kind of saw how distraught I was. And he said, listen, he says, don't worry, calm down, nobody's going to court. And at that, I thought, that's a very strange thing for somebody, mm-hmm, like that to say. So I came off then, letters came, and then I got, in one of the letters that came, mm-hmm, he that a strange thing again. They said, pay now by the end of this week, 1,500 plus VAT, and put all this behind you. And I thought, it's a very strange thing for a lawyer again to say. Mm-hmm. You know, put it, you know, just kind of like, you know, you'll forget your worries, kind of thing. You see. So then, what happened then? Oh yes. So then I was curious then about the cases, all the cases then that he had sent me by email. So I stayed up one night until about 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, because all the cases were all in German and Polish.
Okay.
And I just put them into Google. I put all the main phrases, key phrases into Google.
Wow.
And I painstakingly went through about 6 or 7 of the cases that they had sent me, titles of cases, and I went through them, and I found a pattern was they were all big corporates. There were corporates who had refused to take down pictures or ignored warnings, and this had gone on for so long that they were now being sued. So they were, like, you know, they were using photographs for such a long time, and I was thinking this is a far cry now from like an 18th century B&B in the middle of historic y'all, and like we're saying that you know, it's like that I had a picture up for maybe a week and then brought it down, and I'm being taunted this way, you see.
Nice.
So then I thought, so then I contacted two solicitors in the nearby towns, one of which told me to ignore it, just stop answering, just ignore it. But I thought that isn't much use, because the letter's still coming. And if you Google this too, you'll find all across the world, there's cases where they keep on bombarding you. There was years of it. People had put up with years of it constantly in your inbox, threats. And whereas the other guy said, the other solicitor said, why don't you just send him a grand and see how that goes.
Send him a grand?
Yeah, this is what some solicitor told me. So I thought that still doesn't, you know, like hold water with me, you see. So, so then what I did then, I kind of, you know, you'd be on Googling, you'd be trying to find more info. I came across this site then, Joe. It was like justanswer.com or justask.com.
Okay.
I can't think of which. And I just put in my question. I just put in about a copyright law, blah, blah, blah. I just gave a brief description. You have about like 50 words or something to say. So I just kind of condensed it all. And I then got this message back saying, your question has been forwarded to the appropriate personnel. Okay. So I then waited about two days, and an Irish barrister came back to me who is contracted to the site. Mm-hmm. And he told me, which was very interesting, he said, in Irish law, you only have to pay a fair and reasonable price for the picture. So he said, what they're charging you, because I could read that too. In the €1,500, they were charging you fees. It was largely fees for him. So fees that Stefan Schneebelt would be charging, fees that the solicitor would be charging Stefan, but they were getting you to pay for it. So Stefan would have no fees. So, and they were saying they can't do that. They cannot charge me for his fees. So he said, in Irish law, you just have to pay a fair and reasonable amount for the picture that you've used. So he said, in my opinion, just send them €200. Now, see, in every mail that they'd send me, they'd always send their bank details. So he said, just send him €200 and just state that this is going by a by the Irish law, we only have to pay a fair and reasonable amount, and say you now consider the case closed. So I did that, except I looked on Stefan's site and I saw for this picture they were charging €250. So I thought, right, I'll send €250, and I said, just as he said, this is it. This is under Irish law. I've been in touch with my my legal team, and I now consider the case closed. So I paid them that. End of story. So then.
Yeah, okay.
I received more stuff. Then I received maybe 2 or 3 weeks of even more serious stuff, which they hadn't acknowledged the money that I paid.
Yeah.
So they were sending me such ornate paperwork. Really, it looked like I was like, because they were saying that the papers were all in court now. My case was going to come up in due time. They can still pull it back if I pay. So I just ignored it.
I'm going back about 4 days now, John. When you told me that, bear with me. When you told me that you acted like a lunatic.
Yeah.
When did that not get rid of them?
No. You see, because they thought I was on the phone, kind of just saying like I've lost my business and this has gone wrong and my life's not worth living, and you're dragging me to the edge. I sounded like suicidal. And so, but I think that gave them the push to just push me further and try and get more. You see, because then they started threats with $5,000 and $10,000. But if you pay the $1,500 now, you'll be okay. So then, but I just got suspicious with the way, because the guy.
Okay, so what happened in the end?
Well, that's it, really. I paid the money. They sent me about 2 or 3 weeks more of stuff saying, right, that's it, you're going to go come to court unless you pay. And they gave me a deadline, then they gave me another deadline, and I just ignored them as I was advised to do, because the barrister said to me, you have blown their case out of the water now. Now that you've paid for the photograph, they have no case. They have zero case. So he said that any judge in the land would throw it straight out because you've paid for the picture. Now, it's different if you just keep on going. You just have the picture up on your site and you don't take it down. But like with myself and with Christina, when we realized the mistake, oh my God, this is kind of a copyright thing. Take it down quick, which is like what we did. But
so how much did you end up paying them, John?
I just paid $250. And then I put a fiver to the barrister on the site.
Well, you got great value out of the Irish barrister anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Well done. Well done. Now, we were talking to Stefan yesterday.
Go ahead.
Stefan Schneebelt. He says, And by the way, all the photographs are there to prove it. He said he spent 7 months of the year here in Ireland taking photographs of everywhere from Killiney Hill to Vinegar Hill to Clonmacnoise to Temple Bar to Vicar Street. That's all he does. That's his business.
Yeah.
And he puts them up online, and he said, now, this is what I'd love to know. He said it should be clear from his website, when you click on his photograph, you should immediately be told this. You have to pay.
But Joe, but that's not quite the case, because if you just Google, like say I Googled the clock gate in Yall, and you get up a series of a picture.
Okay.
You don't have to go to his site. You just see a picture. Oh, Jesus, that's nice. It just right click.
And does it say this?
Just
to make this clear, does it say when you clicked on that photograph of the clock tower, the clock gate in Yall, did it say, this is Stefan Schnellbelt's photograph? Please pay up.
No.
Are you sure? Fintan?
No, no.
Fintan.
But most of the pictures, because as they were saying before, I think on the podcast there, I think the show was the last Friday or Thursday, but as somebody said there, most of the pictures, and it's true, most of the pictures have like a watermark or a small little thing in the corner, a small little logo saying a copyright, but Stefan's has nothing. They just have nothing. They're just a plank picture. And I was saying to Christina there, because on the phone, that it is like an entrapment. You're being wooed in. There's nothing.
No,
don't.
No. That's not fair. No, hang on. You're gonna withdraw that word entrapment, aren't you?
Which one?
The word entrapment. You're going
all
to
right,
withdraw.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't want the 15-page.
Okay, but it's like, you know, it is so, let's say it is so kind of tempting just to do
okay,
it.
Okay, well, we'll try and...
You don't think...
But do you think you fought the German law and you won?
Well, I think, I don't see as I won because...
And just briefly, John... Did you know when you sat up for the full night translating these court cases?
Yeah.
What did you learn again? What did you learn that they didn't win any of the court cases?
Oh no, they won. They won this.
But they were against. Who were they winning against?
This firm. There was corporate. There's big companies in the States. I think I saw an oil firm there who had used some picture, which I wasn't theirs. There was big companies all over the world, and I said that they just had ignored these emails.
Yeah, but were they won by Stephen Schnellbelt? Stefan, sorry.
I don't think so. I never
they
saw
were just,
any
They
of
were just
them.
Quoting various, like a book you can buy on copyright.
No. You see, I never saw, in all the cases that they sent me, they were just big cases kind of showing everything from like $5,000, like going upwards. And they were saying kind of only if you don't want to join this list of cases where we've brought to court and we've won, well, then you need to pay the $1,500 now.
But you didn't pay.
No, I didn't pay.
Okay.
But
so what's your advice to people?
Well, I'd say...
Legal advice is make a fair offer, and the fair offer seems to be around £200.
Exactly.
And the next time is go out and take a photograph of the clock tower yourself.
That's exactly right. You see, because we can't use...
How's Avonmore House and y'all doing?
Joe, since we opened up, we're doing well. You know,
well done. I'm so thrilled to hear that.
Yeah, because we're.
And does that mean you're full every
we're
night?
Busy. We are. We're busy out here.
And
which,
tourists,
which is great.
Tourists from where, John?
Tourists, I tell you, from just all over the country, we get an awful lot from Wexford, Kilkenny,
and are people in good form?
They're in great form.
Brilliant.
People are mighty, I tell you, and they're all because we have COVID measures here. We have.
Now, are you seeing any Americans or English British tourists?
We've had two Americans, two couples, or maybe three couples. They were from Texas.
And how are they? Yeah, tell us how did they enjoy themselves?
Oh, the Americans, they just love Ireland. They love y'all. They love the kind of oldness here, you know, the historic.
Yeah.
You know, and oh no, they the Americans just love it here. But though, it's just there's a real kind of feel good feeling here. You know,
Good. Okay. And the were the Americans vaccinated?
They were. Yes. They were all. Okay. All of them were. Yeah.
Now remember, just to go back to the core point. Remember, copyright exists that people are paid for their work.
Yes.
So I don't know. Anyway, and I take your point, but people, you have to pay if you use someone else's work.
I agree. You see, I'm saying that's why I paid the $250 because I realised what I'd done, wasn't right. But I didn't really realise it at the time because I thought there would be a watermark, there would be a little copyright logo, but there was nothing. It was a blank picture. So I used it thinking it was okay. But of course photographers have to pay because this is the way. But it's the wrong way to do it. The blank picture there and then go in for the kill. $1,500
RL. Okay, well then we find out the exact law on copyright. Okay, John Bailey, Avonmore House, keep going.
Joe.
Well done.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Joe@rt.ie is a simple email. Fintan Hanlon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Okay, what happened? It was last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday. First of all, I'd like to say a big thanks to James's Hospital for all the work they did on me and how good the staff was, especially to Dr. Ali.
Yeah, okay.
I was released, Joe, on the 10th. And I got the Lewis train to the station.
Yeah, Euston Station, down the road, down the hill.
I looked to buy a ticket to Roscommon in the ticket office, and only to be told I couldn't purchase one there, I needed to go online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I explained to him I was a pensioner and only out of hospital, major surgery, getting stents in, and I didn't know how to use the online book and only make a call and receive a call. And his answer to that was, he gave me a number to ring saying, problem solved, and turned away from me. Now, the person before me had the same problem, with the fact he looked as if he was sleeping rough, and I'm not putting anybody down, but it was an awful smell, and he was very dirty, and there was nobody there to clean the counter, you know. So, but I rang the number that he gave me, and the girl came on, and she said, she knows these thrust comments, fully booked, and I asked her what had she got at this time, that I was in bad pain and I was out of breath and I had no medication with me, and the insulin, because I'm a very bad diabetic, the insulin that the hospital gave me, they forgot to put a needle on it, so hence there was no good to me. And she said, well, there's nothing I can do about it. I said, you know, but I have so many different problems, over 20 medical problems and all, I needed to get that train to get home.
Okay.
And she just said, look, there's a number, print it out, and that can get you as far as 107 Port Arrington. So I took that, and I looked for help to get a print out because I didn't know how to do that. Security told me it wasn't his job. Another person told me they didn't know how. And the lad cleaned the floor, done it for me. So, he printed out, and I was just talking to this woman, and she said, if I was you, I'd try to get through the stiles, telling her my problem. And if I got through the stiles of the ticket, to be on B4. So I went with it, and your man just took the ticket, didn't take it from me, looked at it, he said, you've 1 minute to make it. So carrying two bags and a backpack, I had to run the full length of the Houston station to get it, where I practically collapsed. And the guy at the end just said to me, hop on. But when I got on the train, first thing I seen was a free seat. And I asked the lady there, was there anybody in? And she said, no. So, I got the train. We pulled up in Port Harrington, first stop. About 7 or 8 got off, and about 15 got on. And out of that, there was a lot of them standing in between carriages. But the fact that I couldn't have a seat, and I had such a medical problem, and I was in such pain.
Okay, did anyone offer you a seat? No.
There's several people offered me a seat, but Joe, there was actually a seat available. And she said there was no seats.
Okay, but remember, isn't there limited availability now on public transport?
There is. there is, there's one seat for sitting on and one beside it is a no sitting one. And that's what one with no was sitting on. Well, it was three. I asked the lady.
Why didn't you sit on it then?
I did. Okay, I did. But what I'm saying is, she told me I couldn't book on that train. There was no seats.
Okay, okay.
And she, when I told her all my
And you say it was the cleaner who did the booking for you?
Yeah, well, the cleaner, she gave me a number.
Well done, yeah. Well done to the cleaner.
I told her I didn't know how to do that. And she just sent me somebody there to do it for you. And I said, well, there's so many problems and I'm over it.
And they don't, okay, and they didn't have anyone there like they have sometimes when there's a machine, say at one of those automatic checkouts or whatever. They exactly. Normally have someone hovering around that'll come over and help, you know, they didn't have. Now, most importantly, Fintan, how's your health now?
I'm so-so. Okay. Still a bit low, like, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Which you would be after having a couple of stents in, like, you know.
Okay, so that's, let this be, and though what you did wasn't far wrong, try and book in advance if you can. I know you didn't know when you're getting out. How do you know? How can you book in advance when you don't?
Exactly.
Know? But anyway, Fintan, look after yourself and good health. And again, thanks to everyone in St. James's, at least, who looked after you. Now, who was it? John Bailey said a few minutes ago that the Irish people are in brilliant form in the B&Bs and the Americans are in brilliant form. But Annie has contacted us. Annie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
You just said I've just finished having a family of six Irish friends.
Yeah.
Who are also American citizens here for 2 weeks, and they travelled right from Donegal to Kerry, Waterford, Wexford, Cork, Limerick, Galway, Mayo. Oh my God, they wrecked even reading it. And back to Dublin. They come home every year. COVID, no, last year, this year. But they were so disheartened at the level of what they felt was downright rudeness and lack of civility from Irish people, but especially those in the hospitality sector. Step forward, Annie, and tell us what they were saying.
I think basically the overall impression was just the attitude of mm-hmm. Irish people all around from the retail and hospitality sector.
Okay. And did they give you
are Irish, Joe. They're Irish, living in New York.
Okay. Did they give you examples?
Yeah, they did.
Tell me.
I was with them on some occasions.
Okay.
So I could see it for myself. And it was really only when they pointed it out to me that I sort of...
Well, give me an example. If you can, give me an example.
I'll tell you one. It's a very simple one now. It's not hospitality. I can come to that as well. Yeah. In one of the, I can't probably mention the retail outlets.
No, not yet.
They were, one of the things they always love, because they can't get them in New York, are 99. And the overall attitude was, okay, you'd be in a queue, you'd mask on, everything else. And when you'd go to get your ice cream, you'd pay for it. And literally, I saw this happening, just, stand over there. You know, just please, would you move to one side? You know, a bit of civility, pleasantness or whatever. You know, point the thing, stand over there. I mean, how rude is that?
So you're saying it wasn't hospitality, it was hostility?
No, that's just where they were going for a 99, for example.
And let's go another angle. What did they think of the food in Ireland at the moment?
They thought it was dreadful quality for the price.
Wow.
Dreadful.
What do you mean? What does dreadful mean? Greasy?
Yes, more like one place in particular where I brought them, where food is generally pretty good. They literally... It was more like, you know, you drop into a chipper.
Hmm.
And this was a, you know, a restaurant.
It's a one-on-one, a fish and chip, as they call it. And,
yeah.
And would you end up paying $17.95, don't
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
And you might get a tincture of mushy peas.
Yeah. And it's more or less, the plates can throw
And that's the too. One, the one-on-one you get in Corvo's or Beshoff's or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Macari's, great chip shop there. For what, $5.99?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Would be great value.
And remember, they're cooking it as well in Macari's. Will they ever come back?
They say they won't. They say they're going to go to the Caribbean. They have, same people have lots of spending power. They had car rentals. They stayed in good hotels. They stayed, you know, they
that wasn't the case. They said that they have lots of friends.
And who was... did we do that person, Annette, that was on to us the other day about... They talked about car rental. They went to rent a car. And the car was festooned with this special offer, you know, rent this car for €45 a day.
Yeah.
And they went up to rent the car. And they said, like, we have to drive that car with the stickers on it. And they said, yeah, €45 a day. Yeah. How much is it a day? 69. It wasn't 45 at all. They said, you want us to drive around the country advertising that you're... And anyway, that was a complete aside. Yeah. Okay.
It was just a disappointment, Joe. And as an Irish person, I felt embarrassed.
Well, I think your food thing is the big one. That food offering needs to be... Okay, Trish, good to meet them all. That's Annie, because I want to go to Trish. Okay. Thanks, Annie. Trish, good afternoon. You've just got a certificate, passed an exam, well done, as a health and safety officer. You have a certificate at Loan IT. And what's happened? You're applying for jobs. You're a mother of 2, 9 and 5.
Yeah. And any job that I'm applying for, like, there's a minimum of 2 years experience, minimum of 3 years experience, and they're just, I'm not even getting, like, I've got a reply from 2 jobs. And one was a phone call, and one was an email saying, look, I'm really sorry because you've no experience. Do you know what I mean? And it's just really frustrating at the minute.
Yeah, but hang on.
How are you
supposed to get started?
That's it. That's why I'm so frustrated, and that's why I emailed.
In one sense, you have experience because you're a qualified and verified health and safety officer. You have a certificate in it from a third level institution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, it's just, like, I'll give you an example of a job that I applied for. I won't say where it's for, it was just like, so the heading is Junior Health and Safety Officer. A recognised third level qualification in health and safety, knowledge of Irish health and safety legislation, and then you know how to use Word and Excel and send emails then a 2 years experience at the end of it, like, and it's just so frustrating because, and I even put on a cover letter to one job that I was applying for, I was like, just take me on for work experience, don't pay me, give me a couple of days work experience, do you know what I mean? And I'm just... It's really frustrating because I don't understand how I'm supposed to get my foot on the ladder if I'm not even given an opportunity to get into that line of work.
And what is that line of work? I know it's health and safety. What would you be doing?
Like, you'd be going around the sites and then you'll be doing risk assessments and you'll be able to...
Oh, you mean building sites?
Building sites. It could be anything. Like I know construction, it'd be harder to get into, but I'm not even applying for construction site jobs at the minute because I know I don't have experience.
But would you be able to go around a building site and say, if you saw two fellas, it's invariably fellas, it shouldn't be, if you saw two workers using a grinder to cut a metal bar, a metal rod, and one of them wasn't wearing glasses?
Exactly.
You'd check him and say, hang on a minute.
You'd be able to go over and say, look, you need this, well done. You write up your report. And why do you know what I mean?
But you know all that already, don't you?
Yes, exactly. And but how am I meant to get work when I've no experience? Do you know? And nobody is even saying, look, catch. I know you're only after getting your cert. Like, surely there has to be businesses out
catch
there that
22.
Say, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's only after passing her exam, but she's qualified.
Well,
she has it on paper.
I presume, but it can't be done. The word she does not come into it. They don't. Your gender isn't an issue on a building
site.
I hope it isn't.
Well, same here.
Okay.
Well done.
So you went back and did that third level course yourself?
Yeah, I did
well done.
I passed, and do you know, I just hope someone will hear it. And
you're in the Athlone area. Are you willing to?
No, I'm not. I'm living in Enfield at the minute.
Oh, you're in Enfield. Well, that's a good location for everywhere, really,
exactly.
Isn't it?
It's in around everywhere. Like,
Dublin is, it's like a hedgehog with tower cranes at the moment or something.
Exactly,
many of them.
That's it. And I don't understand how I'm getting it so hard.
Okay, Trish, we'll be in touch, I suspect.
There's a great
worker who knows what she's about and has the exam and qualification to prove it. Today's programme was produced by Annette Egan, research Richie Byrne, and sound was Liam Mullen, the BCO was Daniel Keating. And Catherine Thomas is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m.
or email joe@rte.ie.